Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. And the big one coming up this weekend, Vanderbilt heads to Tuscaloosa to take on the Crimson Tide. Joe, I will let you do the honors.
Last time Vanderbilt beat Alabama in Alabama was 1984, and our next guest was the starting linebacker on that team. Let's welcome in one of my favorite people in the world, Chris Gaines, to the show. Chris, how are you, and thanks for doing this, my man.
I'm doing great, man. How are you guys?
We're doing good. All right, let's talk about – we'll talk about this current Vanderbilt team, but what do you remember about 1984, about going down there when nobody thought you guys could beat Alabama and you absolutely went down there and kicked their butt?
Man, it was kind of the same situation, Joe. We were 3-0 at the time, going into Tuscaloosa, ending up playing really well, beating Alabama there. It was a shock to everybody. And we were 4-0 coming back home, and then we went on a losing streak and ended up 5-6 for the season. So the season didn't end well, but that early start was pretty impressive.
Yeah, when you go down there, and you've been in those games, when nobody thinks you got a chance, you're playing the mighty Alabama, and you walk off that field victorious, what was that feeling like?
Well, it was huge, and, you know, I think we had the attitude that they've got now, and that is, you know, we can beat anybody. We deserve to be here. We're prepared. We put the work in, and we're going to go out and make it happen. I think that was the attitude we had that day, and we were able to accomplish it.
Chris, what was the pregame speech like by Coach McIntyre?
Well, you know, at that time, you know, we were ranked and, you know, we had a chance to really do something very special. So it was really about, you know, the preparation that we've done. This game's not too big for us. We deserve to be here and we can go out there and beat this team. And that's what we're going to do.
What do you remember about your quarterback was Kurt Page, right?
Yeah, Kurt Page. Yeah.
What do you remember about playing with him? I know Kurt very well.
Man, I love Kurt. I always thought a lot of Kurt and had a lot of respect for him. He was a tremendous talent and, you know, very dedicated to the sport, and he was tough. You know, I like a quarterback that's got a little fire, that's got leadership, and that's the way Pavia is right now. That's the way he's playing. That's the attitude he has, and Kurt Page had that same type attitude.
We've said that the thing with Pavia is Vanderbilt has not just the quarterback, but has a personality, a player that they truly have never had before. And in today's climate with college athletics, how important that is, because you're getting all these eyeballs on the Commodores. Do you see it that way too?
I do. And I think Pavia, you know, deserves a ton of credit for, you know, what he's doing, and not just for himself, but what he's doing for the Vanderbilt community and the leadership and the toughness and the energy that he plays with. It's just contagious. And, you know, I say this often because people ask me about Pavia and what I think about him. The first thing I say is just throw out the measurables, throw out the height, throw out the arm strength. Whatever you think he is, he's a winner, and he's tough. And he makes people around him better. That's what leaders do. That's what champions do. And that's what he is.
We're talking to former Vanderbilt All-American linebacker Chris Gaines on the Chasing Big Joe show. Chris, Chase had a good point earlier about this new charter, uncharted territory for Vanderbilt. They go down there, beat him. They're 6-0. And it could change the narrative. And Clark Lee, and I know you know Clark, has yeah. seen it all. As a fan, as a player, as a coach, he's seen those bad times. What would – talk about the job he's doing, but what would this mean for the overall if Vanderbilt can go down there, Chris, and knock off this team the way Vanderbilt is right now? What would that mean for the national narrative?
Well, I mean, it would absolutely be huge. You know, the big thing's recruiting, NIL and all that, how much it will help with that. You're going to get a national spotlight. You're going to have eyeballs across the country on you, millions of people watching game day in this game, and this is a chance to take it to another level. And that's what Clark Lee's prepared them for. And, you know, really, Joe, I was over there the other day for the South End Zone ceremony, and I was just very impressed with the chancellor, the athletic director, Clark Lee. They all spoke, and they all believe in the mission. And there's tremendous support from the chancellor and Candace, the AD, and Clark Lee. He's got a plan. He's executing that plan. They're being diligent in their work ethic and their preparation. They're making it happen. And win against Alabama will completely change the scope of Vanderbilt football.
Chris, the Alabama players don't like Pavia. He ruined their season and their offseason. They've talked all offseason about stopping him. Can you get so invested in stopping somebody that you don't stop him? Does that make sense? Like, you know you're going to do it, but you're mentally, you're there, but physically you're just not there because you've overthink and overthought this. Can that be a factor in Vanderbilt's favor on Saturday?
It can, but I just think the offensive coordinator has been brilliant in his play calling and his scheming and a lot of motion, a lot of things to look at and prepare for. So it's very difficult to really focus on Pavia because the way they run their offense and free people up, he's got so many options that it makes it very difficult on a defense. And so I think the key to the game is, you know, they got to get some early momentum and score some points, and they got to control the time of possession and turnovers. And on defense, they can't give up big chunk plays. And I think they can do that. I think they will do that, and that's what they're preparing for.
Chris Gaines is with us. Chris, I, you know, lived here my whole life, and I had two choices with college teams when I was born, and I went with the black and gold and have been, you know, since I was a young kid. And so to see them have the success that they have now is really special for me. But I feel like that we're slowly seeing, and you mentioned, you know, the chancellor and the AD and Clark and all of that, that it's just the buy-in internally is finally where it needs to be for the athletics and in all sports to move forward. That's got to be special for you.
It's very special. And, you know, it's been a long time. And just the enthusiasm and excitement over there on game day, it's even different. And, you know, the way Vanderbilt is playing now, you don't want to play Vanderbilt. They're a tough team to beat. They're a tough out. And you've got to play to beat them. And that hasn't always been the case. And it hadn't been the case, you know, for many years throughout the history of Vanderbilt football. But to know that they're going to go out there, they're going to be prepared, they're going to play hard, they're going to fight, they're going to give you everything they got, that's exciting. And that's what fans rally around. That's what they want to see. And that's what creates the excitement.
Chris, how do you like the new upgrade to the stadium over there?
I love it, Joe. I tell you, the end zone, that south end zone is just really impressive. It's just a whole different atmosphere and vibe, and, you know, it's exciting, and it looks really good, and, you know, I think they've done a tremendous job, you know, creating these opportunities to move forward and grow this thing even bigger.
I love it. Hey, before we let you go, you and I one day in the Donaldson Y and the sauna had a great conversation about John Candy. You, for those that don't know, you played in Toronto in the CFL. You won a Grey Cup. John Candy was the owner, and you and him had a really special relationship, didn't you, Chris?
We really did, and, you know, there was four or five of us, Rocket Ismail, some other guys, that when we were on road trips and he flew in, he would call up to our hotel rooms and he would invite us to dinner. There were four or five of us, and he was the same in his movies as he was in person, just a super guy, super funny, just a very humble guy, and we had a blast with him. But it was our championship year. We won the Grey Cup in 1991, and we were in the championship parade downtown Toronto, and it just really shocked me. He pulled me aside into this tavern. It was called James Tavern. I'll never forget it. We sat at a booth, and he said, "Chris, you know, what do you plan to do now that you've retired?" And I said, "Well, outside of football, strength and conditioning is my passion, and I want to be a strength coach." And he said, "How would you like to be the first full-time head strength coach in Canadian football history?" And I said, "I would absolutely love it." And he hired me right there. I had no idea, didn't know what I was going to do. And so it was very nice of him, and you know, super appreciative.
Oh, what a great story. Chris, as always, man, thank you. You know, I think the world of you and your family. I appreciate your time, my man, and we'll catch
Likewise,
up soon.
Joe, Chase, thank you very much. Y'all have a great day. Appreciate
you too. Thank you, Chris. Chris Gaines joining us here on the program, former Vandy player and
strength coach. I did not know that. I knew the story, but I forgot the end part about being the first strength coach in the Canadian Football League.
That's
hired by
cool.
John Candy.
That's pretty cool.
Right,
that
man.
That is really cool. So good to talk to him. Coming up next, Paul Kuharsky has a really interesting story on his website that I want to bring up about ticket sales and – maybe how delusional the Titans organization truly is.
This is good.
This is fantastic. We will do that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Because we are having a limited time offer only on everything.
Wow, this is my lucky day.
Ask him his name. What is your name, sir?
I am Bill Buttlicker.
Really, that's your real name?
How dare you? My family built this country, by the way.
Be respectful, Dwight, please.
Yes, Michael.
Boundaries, Dwight, come on.
I'm sorry, Mr. Buttlicker. As I was saying, we are having a limited...
Speak up a little bit louder. I'm hard of hearing.
He's hard if he's an old man.
Okay, as I was saying, right now we are having...
Talk louder.
Okay, our prices have never been lower.
Son, you have to talk louder.
Never been lower.
Louder, son!
Buttlicker! Our prices have never been lower!
Stop it.
Is that the Titans ticket reps now?
Oh, my gosh. That's good. Good job, Dr. Crane.
Well done. Well done. The office stand the test of time. So Paul Kuharsky at his website, paulkuharsky.com, has – this is what the headline of the article says. Titans ticket rep tells potential customer, quote, "Our fan base is very happy," end quote. And then Paul opens it with, "The Tennessee Titans are 0-4. They carry a 10-game losing streak, but a ticket representative pushing a sale for the new Nissan Stadium assured one potential customer in a text that fans are very happy. And the text says, "We are 75% sold out of the new stadium. We just converted all of our current members over, so our fan base is very happy."
All right, let me ask you this. What are they supposed to do?
Well,
keep going.
The message came in response to a complaint about the firing of Mike Vrabel. And basically it was like, if you're loyal, I'll be loyal, etc. And it was just like, okay, that's the response. Well, Paul gets a comment from Kate Guerra, who is the Titans Vice President of Communications and Corporate Affairs, which says, quote, "Thank you for flagging this. We missed the mark in a big way. These comments have been addressed, and we will do better."
Let me tell you what. Brilliant from the Titans. You know why? It's now a non-story.
Yeah, because they've commented on it.
Yeah, they did not hide. They did not try to sugarcoat it. They admitted they were wrong.
Now, and let me clear this up, because that response is them saying they're 75% sold, because they're not. And that's where I think she was commenting, was that, hey, we'll work on that. Not necessarily the very happy, but, you know, they're trying to say that they're almost sold out.
I heard they were almost sold out.
He says in the article, quote, "Also, it isn't factually correct that the team converted all its current members over. I know PSL holders from the current stadium who have not purchased for the new venue. The lie throws into a question other things the Titans are saying, like the 70 to 75% of the new building being sold."
Okay. I've heard all kind of things.
Right.
From some very good sources that it's almost sold. So I don't know.
But it's not our – it's not the fans. Like, you're sitting there saying the fan base is happy. You may be selling your new stadium out, but you're selling it to corporations and people that aren't truly fans. You've essentially ousted your fan base, because most of them are not going to be able to afford the new stadium.
Read the tweet or with the text again from the Titans fan to the fan.
"We are 75% sold out in the new stadium. We just converted all of our current members over, so our fan base is very happy. Reply stop to opt out of these
tests." Stop. Get me out of this. I'm playing your role. You work for them. You want to, like, hey, things are great and fun. Meanwhile, your stadium's burning. But I think that's a good employee. I guess you're selling the product, right? I think that would be... Am I missing this? Do you want to call in and say, "Hey, look, listen, Chase, don't buy this. this place is garbage. They're going to fire everybody. Don't be part of this. Save your money elsewhere. Go, just get away from it. I want somebody to say, look, man, yeah, we're happy. Fine line, right?
Subjective. Right, but don't insult my intelligence either.
Yeah, the fan base is happy. You could have taken that out.
Yeah, well, and saying that you converted all of our current members over, because we all know that's not true. I know people that have PSLs at the current stadium that are not purchasing at the new stadium because it's too expensive.
Quite a few.
Yeah.
Quite a few.
So don't insult my intelligence. That's my thing. Like, yeah. You can – great. If you're 75% sold out, good on you.
Yeah. And it's good for the Titans. Finally did something, I think, a little bit correct. They got the message out and said, hey, we're wrong on this. Now it's a non-story because they did that. They got out ahead of the train and figured it out instead of not saying a word. Had they not said anything, this would have festered all day. It's good. Good for them. They did something right for once.
Mm-hmm.
You're disagreeing with me.
That they did something right?
Yeah. I like the message from Kate back to the family.
Yeah, no. I think – It's quite the opposite of their usual strategy of let's go run in a hole and hide.
Yeah. It's much better than the first question.
And listen, I'll say I like Kate. Kate does her job very well.
Yeah. Well, I think it's better than the questions of asking Brian Callahan about Cam Ward's damn footwork.
Yeah. The problem over there, God. Let me say this. The problem over there is not their communications department, because I got some very good people that work in that department. Uh-huh. The problem is they don't listen to them.
No, the problem is they have a bad product on the field.
That too. But, I mean, like, it, you know, we know all the – going back to Robbie and, you know, people that are still there. I mean, they got good people in that department. It's some of the times they don't want to listen.
Yeah. The funniest part to me, and for those who are around, when a PR staff gets intimidated and they can't do their job, Randy Moss intimidated that entire PR staff. And if they tell you he didn't, they're lying. The way Randy Moss conducted press conferences over there and had them like, oh, my God, we don't know what to do, was something I'd never seen before. I've never seen afterwards to do all that. But, look, it is what it is. Fan base is not happy. And that's the bottom line, man.
Yeah. But none of this surprises me anymore. It's just it's a shame. And look, I'm careful how I do this, but I think it should be said. You look at how another organization in town conducts their business and runs stuff, and they're not perfect, and they will tell you they're not perfect. I'm talking about the Predators. You know, Sean Henry's been on this show, these airwaves, many times and said, look, we've had ideas that we thought were great ideas that turn out to be bad ideas, and we'll admit that they were bad ideas, but you know, that's what a good organization does, is you celebrate the wins, but you take the L's and learn from the L's.
I can't – the stupid Pedal Tavern.
Right. The Pedal Tavern is the one that everybody uses. Look, they have made fun of themselves.
Right.
They, you know, had the when it was being towed out of the arena. Like,
that's the only one I can think of. That's it. I mean, I could dive in others, but that's the only one.
Depends on who you ask. You're always going to have fans that think that, no, they've done this wrong or this right or whatever. But the fact of the matter is, I believe, and I'm not just saying this, I truly believe when the Predators say they listen to the fan base, I believe that. When the Titans say it, I don't.
Yeah.
Because they're the NFL.
They're the NFL, right?
The NFL has this, you know, mentality of like, look, we're the NFL.
Right.
You're gonna do it whether you want to or not.
That's exactly right.
And in some ways, they're right. I mean, like, the thing is, as Paul said in his tweets in the article, if you really want to invoke change, stop buying a ticket. Stop going. Cancel your Titans house appointments.
That ain't going to make and a damn lick of difference.
If it's big enough, it would.
Nobody's going to do that.
Right. That's my point. But, like, if Amy all of a sudden, like, picks her phone up and starts checking the financials and sees that there's a bunch of minuses and they're going way down, then you've got her attention.
And then she sees, oh, did the check from Amazon come in? Oh, okay, we're good.
Yeah, right.
They're tone deaf. You're not going to make a difference. You don't buy – somebody will buy those tickets. It doesn't matter.
The thought of them hanging on to Brian Callahan through the end of the season, which I think they're probably going to do.
Terrible idea.
Well, you know, but you of all people know why they're going to do it. It's a very simple reason of why they're going to do it.
Because they don't want to pay. They don't want to – I don't know.
They don't want to – they'd have to pay him for this year, which they got to do anyway. So, okay. They'd have to pay an interim. Then they'd have to turn around, fire the whole staff, pay that off, which, again, they're going to still have to do. But they look at it as, well, let's knock a year off, and then I don't have to pay an interim coach.
Although
when you promote here's the thing. When you promote someone, let's say like they call Nick Frazier tomorrow and say, hey, we want to bring you in to be the interim head coach. Cool. You gonna pay me like a head coach?
No, I'm not.
Then I'm not taking the job.
I'll find somebody else.
No, but and nobody will. They will pay them like a head coach.
They're not gonna pay somebody.
They will pay them like
$2 million interim? Ain't happening.
I believe they will.
Not a chance in hell. Mike McCoy, you get it. Here's a $100,000 bump. You're interim. That's all. See ya. You want it?
I think it's more than that.
Okay.
I think that's why they're not doing it. That's my whole point.
No, she's not going to dole out millions for an interim. There's no way.
That's why they're not doing it. That's what I'm saying. You're making my point for me.
Well, I'm just saying, you give Mike McCoy, here's a $100,000 bump to be the interim head coach. Hell yeah. I'm already here anyway.
Yeah, but
I'll do it.
But I think there are actual rules behind that. But that's my point. She's like, I don't want to pay a guy to go away, pay a guy to do his job for the rest of the year, and then pay another guy to come in and be the new guy.
So this would be...
Because she's already paying two GMs not to do their job.
So this would only be... you got Mularkey, Vrabel, and now... So she's hired three head coaches since 2015, 10 years.
Correct.
Okay. So this would be number 4 and 11.
Correct.
God.
Yep.
For a team that went 16 years with the same head coach. I'm just a phone call away.
Call him. I would take that right now today.
Down the block. Be there in a second.
Greg, run the Cats.
I was going to say, Amy, can I bring Pogue with me? He's a great guy. He's been around a long time. Worked at every paper in town. Kind of like his friend has worked at every TV station in town. But I like him. I'm going to watch on a Friday night.
Who is that?
That's when his voice gets real high. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of got to go up here and then you come back down.
We're auditioning.
Couple of great guys. Really do a good job.
Oh, my gosh.
More coming next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Yes. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. I had to think about that for a second.
Is that Montel Jordan? This is how we do it? You can talk in the mic.
Yes.
Okay.
What about
Will Ferrell in The Office when he became the boss and he's going to dunk? He's like just like Montel Jordan. And he does the song and goes up and he breaks his neck.
D'Angelo Vickers.
Yeah. That's the only really funny part that he gave to The Office.
You're talking about the invisible balls, remember? He was juggling?
Yeah.
Can somebody throw me a third ball?
All right. The old improv act on that. Good times, man. All right, Chase, I got some for you.
Great times.
Well, should
we take a call first? Or
oh, hell yeah. Cool? Please. Yeah. God, right. Yes.
Thank you. Jim wants to weigh in on the Titans. Jim, what's up?
Hey, guys, 2 points. First, the Titans rep saying the fan base is happy. WTF universe are they living in, for God's sake?
Yeah, that's a great question.
My question – so we always talk about the Titans not wanting to blow money or not wanting to spend money. But really, my question is, the end of each year, I don't know if they're a publicly traded company or whatever, what do the Titans make profit-wise? Do they make a profit? Do they lose money? I mean, do they have tax accountants that play tricks and they can show a loss? But do they make a profit? If you know, let me know.
Thanks for the call, Jim.
Thanks for the call the tarmac at the airport, Jim.
I would assume yes. I mean, it's the NFL. Like, so yeah, I would assume. I don't know, and I don't believe they have to disclose that.
Well, I don't think they're in it to lose money. I mean,
yeah,
that's a good point. I mean,
they're billionaire. The owners, the NFL owners, are billionaires for a reason.
Exactly, exactly right. So I don't. Who knows? I'm sure they can construct it away. Like, hey, we're barely making it, but they're not have to give it to us. As far as I know, they're making all making good money. Speaking of making money, Chaser.
All right, now
I have the SEC most expensive rosters according to this list.
You know what cracks me up?
Yeah,
you are like the quickest to get away from the Titans than of anyone I know.
Do you like talking about hell?
No, I don't. But it just cracks me up.
I think look. I don't think I got a pulse of anybody in the city besides my own, but when I talk to people about the Titans, the reaction I get is like, God, they suck.
Yeah.
And they don't. There's no other thing past that. They're not caring about Cam Ward's footwork, which some people are, which I find that quite amusing. They just like, all right, when are they gonna win? I mean, so, we got to sit up here and talk about it, and I understand that. But at some point, it's like, all right, I have beaten the horse on this Wednesday.
Yeah.
Time to move down the path.
Yeah. Okay, go on.
No, that's just me. That's it.
You're right.
Just to let you guys know real quick, the Titans are making some money. 2024 revenue was $582 million, and that's according to Forbes.
They're doing okay.
They're doing all right.
Barely scratching through. Amy's got to get a new lease.
Barely getting by.
Oh my gosh!
I'm sorry. Now you've got me started on it.
I tell you, you'll sit there and do it all day long. I'll tell you what's going on. They don't know what the blank they're doing. All right, here we go. Expensive rosters. Are these teams getting their bang for the buck in the SEC? According to this from Next Round Live, the website, the stat of the day: Vanderbilt's paying $4 million for their roster, which is the lowest in the SEC. Value or not a value?
Who's that?
Vanderbilt.
I would say a value right now.
Kentucky's getting paid $4.2 million.
Below, because they're terrible.
Mississippi State, $5 million. They're 14th in the league.
Up.
Arkansas, their roster is $6.5
million. They're not getting their value.
Ole Miss, surprising enough, is only $8.9 million.
Above value.
Carolina, $10.2 million.
Below.
Florida, 10.4.
Way below.
What world do we live in that Missouri spent more on their roster than Florida? Missouri, 11.5.
Below.
Auburn.
Well, they're 4-0, aren't they?
They're 4-0.
Yeah, okay.
That's Auburn, 12.3 million.
They're probably getting it right now. But you're paying for the name there, too.
True.
I guess.
Oklahoma, 12.8 million.
Yeah, they're where they should be, probably.
A&M, 13.9.
Yep.
Tennessee, $14
million. Yeah.
Georgia, their roster, $14.9 million.
Wow.
Not bad.
Yeah, I'd say yeah.
Take a little jump at 16.5, LSU.
For the most part.
And then the top two, who do you think number one is?
Alabama.
Texas.
Oh, Texas, then Alabama.
19.7.
They're below.
Alabama, 19.5. I agree about Arch Manning in Texas.
So what was Vandy? Five?
Four. The lowest.
So if Vanderbilt beats Alabama on Saturday at Tuscaloosa, a $15 million difference in payroll. $15.5 million difference.
Plus, rumor has it Pavia's getting around two. So half of your NIL money is going to Pavia.
Right.
Which is fine because you're winning games and all that other good stuff. That just shows you how building this doesn't matter.
That's crazy, man.
You get good players in, you could do anything. Having the most expensive roster does not guarantee you anything except having the most expensive roster in the SEC. That's all it does.
And that's why I think it's so important that, I mean, look, there's going to be players that all they care about is money. But that's why I think it's important for Vanderbilt to continue doing what they're doing, because then – you know, the money, if you have success and you win, the other stuff will come with it.
Right.
Like, and so if they beat Bama this weekend, let's say they finish the year 11-1 and they're in the playoff, that they will reap the rewards of that. Now, they'll probably, the price will go up, but there'll be players that look at that like, hey, I want to be a part of that in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have businesses and stuff. Hey, we want in, you know, because now look at you.
Winning begats winning, begats Bingo. Winning, begats Bingo. Winning. And you see what happens off of all that. I had a really good point I was going to make. Now I forgot about it.
You made a couple.
Not really. I'm good for about one a week. Yeah. I can take care of you there. Pavia, money, things that are happening that are going on. Dang, I had a really good one. I forgot what it was now to do all that. Yeah, so, you know, the roster.
You're handsome, so.
That's, you know, that goes without saying.
I heard that laugh back there.
God dang it. I had something out that was going to say.
He's handsome. He's talented.
He's beautiful.
He's probably a little bit on the big side here. You got to bring him down a little bit. You know what I mean? Probably a little bit too big for his pants. You got to bring him down.
Give him a Diet Coke or two.
Press the red button. Bring it in here.
Bobby, help him out.
Ha-choo. Oh, man. Man, I had a good – now it's going to bug me for a little bit. What I was trying to say about football, the rosters and SEC. And, I know what I'm saying. Do you remember the first time you heard about NIL?
Yeah.
What was the first one you heard about it?
Well, it was the lawsuit with the video game.
Mine,
the first time.
Well, about an individual player doing it. Mine was Alante Taylor in Knoxville about the cookies.
Yeah. And I'm like, thinking, you're saying since it became legal.
Yeah, it became legal. Yeah, and I'm thinking, all right, and I had a problem with it then because
it's like the number of interceptions.
Yes.
And
so what if late in the game he's got no interceptions, wants an interception, and creates a pass interference to the other team? I know it's an extreme hypothetical, but I was thinking, oh, my God, there's no way we're coming back from this. And like Muschamp yesterday said, the toothpaste is out of the tube now. I mean, nothing to do about it.
And the NCAA is just sat there going,
yeah. What time are we going to lunch?
Yep.
To do all that other good stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's. But look, again, that's why we love Saturdays because we get to actually see it on the field and happen, and that's all fun.
Yep.
For sure.
For sure.
Yes.
Indeed. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai. .com. We'll have more coming. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. Little Pete Townsend bringing us back. This song always makes me happy. I don't know why. It's catchy. Maybe that's it.
Titans need to open the door a little bit.
Hey, they need some love to open the door. But the fan base is happy, according to them. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And, of course, you can weigh in on anything we're talking about at 615-737-1025, our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll tell you about some cool stuff going on at the Fairground Speedway coming up at 2 o'clock with our man Anthony Tate, the GM over there. But Brian Callahan spoke earlier today. Did he say anything about Latham?
No. I totally forgot about that guy on the team. He did talk about Cam Ward's footwork, which is really
good.
Yeah,
well, I heard that, but they've activated, I guess, or Tajay Spears, they put him in the return window, so he's practicing. They haven't activated him yet. But
like at Walgreens?
Yes.
Here you go.
Yeah, he's activated.
They come by and pick him up in the return window.
Your prescription's ready. Your running back's ready.
Hey, Coach, good to see you.
I have a prescription for Brian. Brian on aisle five. Brian, aisle five.
Callahan.
So wait.
Oh, my God. He's like,
so he blubbered on and on about footwork, but nobody asked him about Latham?
No, but I'm really concerned about Cam's footwork. Really good.
Yeah, you made your point there. I want to know about the right tackle because Cam isn't going to have any footwork if they don't get the damn right tackle back.
Nah, nothing. I've heard nothing about that. But you know what I'm waiting on? Catch a strip, man. I'm telling you, you got nothing to lose. I'm going, I know, you're not rolling your eyes. I don't give a damn. But I got to see him. Yeah, anyway, you can look up Latham. He's still hurt, whatever. We might put you in there Friday or Sunday at Chase at right tackle. Could be worse.
I'll pass.
Just hey,
well, how much? Hang on.
Kick step jab.
How much are we? How much are we talking?
I can give you $16,000. What a practice squad guy gets for.
You make it 20. We've got a deal.
18.
19. 18.5. 17. Homer Simpson 15th, negotiated.
Yeah, right.
Free.
Got it to do that. There's been no update on that.
Okay, I'm looking at Coach Catch Cali. What did Brian Callahan say? Look, can we stop with the Cali thing? All right, Tajay Spears returning to practice, yada, yada, yada. Callahan was asked about kicker tryouts. Great. Okay, here we go. On the way out of the room, Callahan was asked about right tackle J.C. Latham's potential return. Quote, we'll see. Callahan said Latham is trending upward and getting closer, and it's a matter of which day returns. Latham hasn't played since week one.
So, you happy now?
So, it was on the way out.
On the way out.
Hey, by the way, J.C. Latham, oh, he's still on the team? Cool. Yeah. How's he feeling?
Is he going to play anytime soon?
Yeah, we'll see.
Blah, 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 blah. Out the door.
Does Nick Holtz consult on that too? Or
Nick's busy. He was at that Chick-fil-A, which is close to the
– that Chick-fil-A is a nice one, man.
Really good. So he goes and gets all the coaches' orders.
Yeah.
And comes back and makes – he was, hey, I went, defensive game room, here's the – got your order here.
They're good. They're good people. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, look, yeah, Nick Holtz, I guess. The Chick-fil-A guy. Or as my late grandfather used to call it, chick-a-flick. I don't know. But that's.
I think I overpaid for that in a hotel room one time in Panama City. I think I got double charged on the chick-a-flick. I'm so sorry.
And then you told your Bob you thought it was something different.
What is this?
I didn't order that.
Oh, what's this on my credit card? I have no idea, Mom. I think you were hacked. What does that even mean in 1987?
I don't know,
Mom.
Kids today don't appreciate the scramble TV and you're trying to like look at it and make out something.
What are we looking up?
I don't know.
There was a way you could toggle the switch and you have almost a clear picture.
Oh yeah.
But you'd have to stand there and hold it.
Yeah.
And that defeats the purpose.
Well, and see, again, in the 90s, on cable boxes, there were these little chips you could buy and put in there, and you'd get anything you wanted that were probably, and not probably were, a little illegal.
Does one Carol McCabe know about this?
No, I don't know. Statute of limitations have passed on that, both with Mom and the law.
Is it statute or statute?
Statute. I said statute, but...
That's a great
congested.
Seinfeld skit. Oh. When him and George are talking about it. Is it statue or statute?
Is that Seinfeld or Stillfeld?
One's funny, one's not.
One's grasping at straws.
One's not getting it done right there.
So anyway.
Those were some good times back in the 80s with the cable box, man.
Oh, that's one of my 80s favorite, and 90s.
One of my favorite Simpsons episodes when Bart get and Homer, they get illegal cable.
Oh, that is such.
It is. I'm telling you, if you never watch a Simpsons episode, watch that one because we've all seen and been in that situation where Mom or Dad like illegal cable. What are you doing in here? And Bart had like 40 kids over.
Oh yeah,
top hat on, charging admission.
And they were watching. Oh yeah, for the bad channels.
The bad channels. That's
yep.
right.
Yep.
And then they all got together to watch.
Homer walks
fight.
In. What are you doing? And then he's like, oh.
We're watching Top Hat Entertainment.
Yes. Yes, that's it.
Oh, this is so great. And they change the channel. It's like Tokyo stocks are down this morning. 4%. On the index. I mean, on and on. It's just so good.
There's another... There's another thing from The Simpsons. It's the dirty chat lines or whatever.
Yeah,
and I forgot who it was that called it. It's like, if you're down to party, and like it just keeps saying like party.
Who was that? What Milhouse was it? Ah, guy who called that number.
Ay, caramba!
Bart,
Dad. Oh, here's what I was looking for.
Blue chips closed up 3.75. Oil service stocks slumped slightly on the news of continuing
conflict. John, you shouldn't watch that other channel.
No, what did he say? Is it? Does he say that's for dad, mommies and daddies, or something like that?
Oh yeah.
Promise me you won't watch that channel ever again.
Okay.
Promise me.
I promise I will never watch that channel again.
Good boy.
Hi, Dad. I think stealing cable is wrong, so I'm choosing not to watch it in the hope that others will follow my example. Celeste, you'll hear from me on the matter. Thank you for your time.
Hey, Lisa. Racing from Belmont? Horses.
Sorry, I'd rather go to heaven.
Come on. Top Hat Theater is on the air. The most beautiful women in the world. Just 50 cents. I am your host, Bart Simpson. You must be at least 8 years old to enter.
8 years old?
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about the line. Sorry, but I want to go to heaven. Oh, that... And finally, she gets to him, and he can't watch the fight, and he's so guilty.
And they're all sitting outside. He's got the bars on the windows. So good.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
What's up next, buddy?
We're going to talk some racing at the fairgrounds with Anthony Tate. He's the general manager of the Fairgrounds Speedway. We will do that coming up next. Real quick, let's get Trey's comment on cable TV. Trey, what you got?
Hey, buddy. Hey, do y'all remember the first satellites that came out that had, like, the 4-foot dome and, like, only a few people in the neighborhood had it?
No.
Man, they had a satellite that came out that had a 4-foot dome. And only
oh, like, yeah.
Yeah, and that was the first, like, you know, you could get HBO, you could get, like, 400 channels on it. Yeah. Before the box that came out. Yeah, so that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Trey. Appreciate you. We'll have more coming up next. Talk some racing, 102.5 The Game.